All right, here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers, brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
For all of our listeners, don't forget we're on YouTube as well. Max, what's your YouTube channel?
Rot Your Brain Media. You don't know this now?
Well done. All right, so this is what's on deck. We're going to talk about Glasnow being done for the year. We're going to talk about Walker Buehler. He did the start that he's starting to look like the old pitcher. So I don't know how else to say it. We're going to talk about the starting pitching again as a whole, what our options are, because things are starting to look a little grim. We have some shots in the dark coming up with Tony Gonsolin. We're going to touch base on that a little bit. We're going to talk about what how the Dodgers are looking lately, because it's time to start shaping up the defense and the offense, because that's really starting to hurt our lackluster pitching. We're going to review what the Braves and Dodgers series is like so far, and we'll preview the Dodgers-Marlins series. The Dodgers' magic number right now is 10, and with 13 games remaining. Let's check out the Ohtani quest for becoming the founder of the 50-50 club. He is still stuck at 47 home runs and 48 stolen bases. So he's kind of running out of time. 13 games, though, he still should be able to get 3 home runs and 2 stolen bases.
Let's hope.
All right, so Glasnow is our hot topic. But we're going to start with Walker Buehler just because I think we can get that done with pretty quick, because I feel like we're going to be stuck on Glasnow for a little bit. So Walker Buehler, let's see. So tonight, Sunday night, for those of you listening on Monday, he went 6 inning pitched. He had 3 hits, only gave up 1 earned run, 5 walks, unfortunately, 5 Ks. He had 97 pitches, 63 of them for strikes. If I was to go back in that game, I would probably add another 5 strikes because it seemed like the ump was squeezing him a little bit in some crucial times. He made some really good pitches, in my opinion. Besides the 5 walks, which doesn't look good, even though some of those, I feel like it was the umpire kind of squeezing him a little bit. It kind of forced him in some tough spots. Also, the defense kind of let him down. Austin Barnes got a catcher's interference and looked like he actually got taken out of the game the following inning. They said it was because of a big toe, but I think that might have been wrong. It might have actually been his thumb. We'll find out soon enough. And then also some questionable defense behind him. So he had to throw 30 pitches. I think it was in the third inning. But other than that, I think Walker Buehler looked fantastic. He was moving in the right direction. I believe I called it last podcast when I said these next 2 starts, you're going to see him finally find his form. And after the performance that Flaherty gave us and the performance that Landon Knack gave us on Friday, this is something that the Dodgers needed, was to see that their potential third starter in the postseason can actually control a baseball game. And he controlled it. He got himself in some tough situations. His defense got him in some tough situations, but he pitched himself out of it. And I was very impressed by him. Mike, what do you think?
I've been found it since he came back that we're going to need a healthy, dominant Walker Buehler to make a run at the World Series. So I'm on board with you there. I'm a little nervous with our defense right now. Just like there's bits and pieces of some sloppy baseball in some of the series last several weeks. They didn't stick out because we got the wins on those. But we talked about a little bit, Robbie, in pre-production and stuff and offline, that there's hints of us not playing just clean baseball. We need to clean that up, as you mentioned it. And then with everything going on with their pitching, we're going to need solid defense and, you know, we need to score some runs.
Yeah.
And help out our pitchers so they're not stuck in long innings.
Yeah, and it's one, like, I can handle the errors, the defensive errors. I can tolerate that. What's upsetting is still the mental errors happening. Like, there's no reason a catcher should be getting catcher's interference. Like, if you're a catcher, you know pretty much where you need to sit back there behind the plate, and you also know if you're up close to the home plate because you're trying to get your pitcher better calls, you know, don't stick your hand out. Let the ball come to you. Don't stick your hand out there. And Austin Barnes and actually, you know, Will Smith also, they get a little bit more like catcher's interferences than I've seen in recent past this year. They've gotten a decent amount. And it's just, that's just not smart baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we've seen smart, questionable plays behind the plate. We've seen questionable plays in center field. We've seen just bonehead plays, bonehead throws, really. And then if you could just clean up the mental errors, like the fielding errors are going to happen. You're going to bobble baseballs. That's what's going to happen. But you got to play smart baseball. If you're not playing smart baseball, you're basically just giving the other team an extra one or two runs per game, in my opinion, when you do stupid stuff like that. Like, it's just, it's unacceptable
to not know
how to play smart baseball when you're a professional baseball player making crap tons of money.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's also when that runner gets that extra base on a mental throwing error, it puts a little bit more pressure on
your pitcher. Yeah.
Right? So yeah. I agree with you there. We'll go back to the catcher's interference. That stuff you see in youth league baseball. I mean, I'm kind of surprised it's happening in the majors.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the errors are going to happen, but right now we just see, I don't think we can afford to extend any of our pitchers' innings by having errors, mental or physical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to put more pressure on the team and our defense, or I shouldn't say that, our pitchers.
Yeah,
it's concerning.
Pitchers is obviously, I mean, it's not a new conversation for us. It seems to normally be the hot topic of this podcast is the pitching and where it's going. And
it's just getting worse.
A lot of it's like, I feel like it's us talking people off a ledge on, you know, Bobby Miller's not pitching well, or Walker Buehler's not pitching well, or stuff like that, where in all reality, if exactly what you just said, if your defense is not backing you up, it just creates a strain on these pitchers that we can't afford to lose anymore.
Yeah.
And right now we need to be getting more pitchers. And right now, if we look at the number wise, who our fourth starter would be in the playoffs is a really shaky Bobby Miller. Like, we can't afford to be giving Walker Buehler extra pitches or Flaherty extra pitches. Or when Yamamoto, when he does his next start, which hopefully he'll get into five innings, you need to back him up defense-wise. Make sure he doesn't have those 30-inning, you know, if it's on him, if he's not throwing strikes and, you know, he's walking people, whatever, that's on him. But if he's making pitches that you should be getting the routine out, making smart plays to make sure that the runner stays at first base and you hit your cutoff guy and do all these other things, that's going to go a long way. So I'm backing you up, Mike. You're absolutely right.
If you guys keep up these mental errors, Dodgers, you're going to have to step into Robbie's office.
That's right. Okay. Also, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Let's move on to the next topic. Okay.
Hey, wait, hold on. Before you go there.
Okay.
You can find us on X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Am I missing anything, Max?
No, I think you
are. Are we live in all those Facebook? Now?
We are.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're coming at you. We're going to be all over the place. We'll be any like a virus.
Like a virus. All right. Let's talk. The big topic is Glasnow. So, reports came out that Glasnow is most likely done for the regular season with a sprained elbow. You know, we're not surprised in this podcast. I've been kind of calling it since he got injured. The first time he got hurt, he was a little questionable. Second time he got hurt, once you call the arm on an IL stint for a pitcher, I feel like it's always longer than what they initially tell you. If it's like a foot, if it's like a, you know, a hamstring, whatever the case is, then I feel like they might have more of an idea. But whenever it's the arm for a pitcher, and you know, even the back sometimes too, but the arm and the back, I feel like it's always a long thing. And it just, it hasn't been good signs for Glasnow and the overusage of Glasnow, in my opinion. And we're just going to get into it. So we're not going to have him back. So let's talk a little bit of like what we think kind of went wrong with Glasnow, as far as like the usage of him, maybe like, you know, just not giving him the breaks that you needed, however the case is. It's just, they knew what type of pitcher they were getting, right? It's not like Glasnow was a solid workhorse over in Tampa Bay, right? I think it's safe to say that
he's never had
a full season that he's gone through the entire time. So you traded Ryan Pepiot and you traded Johnny DeLuca for an injury-prone pitcher who, when he is healthy, is one of the best pitchers in the league. Correct? We can't deny that.
Yep.
He is an ace pitcher when he is healthy, but we cannot...
Great stuff.
But he's always injured. So you traded a really good pitcher that we all liked a lot Well, we're not going to talk much about Johnny DeLuca. We'll talk about Ryan Pepiot. But you traded Ryan Pepiot, who was a sophomore, maybe third year. You had him under team control, I think, for another 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
Like he was a young pitcher that you didn't really know if he was injury prone or not. He did have some injury issues the previous year, but it wasn't a huge contract, and you could build off of this type of pitcher. But you took a chance. You traded him for an injury prone pitcher. Not only did you trade for him, you gave him a contract extension. Correct? So yep. It's a 4-year extension, Max. Am I wrong? Let's see. We'll say 4 until you correct me. Yeah. So you gave him a 4-year extension on his contract. And then you continued to just, you know, have a rotation, in my opinion, that was built not to be sustained. Five years. Okay. Five years.
$136 million.
And I've talked about it before in the podcast. You go through, you have Yamamoto, who comes from Japan, not used to pitching as much as they are pitching, like the 5-man rotation, whatever, like they are in Japan. He's not used to that over there, like that is over here in the United States. You've got Glasnow, injury prone. You got Kershaw coming back from shoulder surgery. You have Walker Buehler coming back from Tommy John surgery. You have Gavin Stone, who is a rookie, who you don't even know what you should put him, like, normally it's notorious you don't really throw a bad pitch or rookies pitch that much. Like, you know, you put a pitch count on them, whatever the case is. And then you have Bobby Miller, who's his sophomore year, who pitched a lot his rookie season. So what I'm telling you is you don't have anybody who's considered a workhorse that's supposed to be in your starting rotation. So you go 5-man and Glasnow starts off great, but then you start to see him slide, you start to see him fall off. And then you just, you know, my question is, do you guys think he was overworked? Do you think that the Dodgers should have looked at this and said, you know what, with these types of pitchers, we should be 6-man rotation. We should put a pitcher count. We should put like a hard, no pitches after 100. Don't go past 6 innings. You can't, like, you know, obviously, like, what do you guys think? Because obviously I feel like something went wrong here by even getting him and not being able to use him in the playoffs. Nobody cares about the regular season. As long as you make it to the playoffs, that's where it counts. And if you're not going to have your ace in the playoffs that you're spending all this money for, what was the point in even getting him in the first place?
No, I don't. So I'll step in. I guess.
I just rambled forever. Yes, please.
That's okay.
Well, that was like 20 minutes of crap.
No, I wouldn't say that. You're just heated on some of our organizational decisions, and it's been frustrating. First off, I think with the Glasnow thing, I took it lightly the whole time. I didn't think he was that hurt. I thought he just needed a little bit of stint on IL, and he'd come back. It wasn't a big deal. Robbie's been saying to me almost every week, do not take arm injuries lightly. They're big deal. They're bigger than any of the managerial or, well, I shouldn't say that, any of the upper management's going to let on to you believe. They'll say it's not a big deal, but it's usually a bigger deal than it really is. So it's disappointing that Glasnow is out for the year. I think we should have stuck with a 5-man rotation. I think you should have pitched him the way you did. However, I don't know where I was going to go with that. Like, he got hurt. I mean, you can't sign a guy like that and have him become a workhorse or try to become a workhorse or have a, you
expect
know,
a different outcome, right?
White gloves or yeah. Like, you can't put him in a, like, this shiny new object and not use him.
They're an analytical team. They do put in a lot of, you know, those safeguards you're talking about. I'm looking at it right now. He only went over 100 pitches 4 times this year. 102, 104, 101, and 100.
Okay, so that's good.
Sometimes you got to, like, not blame the organization. This is the kind of player he is. I would blame, maybe if you want to blame him for trading assets for him and then extending him, but he's a pitcher who gets hurt. And me and Robbie, we were talking about this during when he was interrupting my Jet game about you know, like, oh, they should. I'm like, yeah, but sometimes, especially pitchers like that who throw extremely hard, who have filthy sliders, that's a lot of wear and tear on your elbow.
Right.
They're going to break eventually. Like, signing him to an extension maybe was too crazy.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so.
Yeah, okay, hold on.
Let me ask Max this. So you obviously know his max pitching, or the most innings he's pitched in a year was 110, right? Before coming to the Dodgers? It was around there.
I think it was like 130.
So, but if the main goal is to get this pitcher in to the playoffs and you pretty much have a cap that you just know, like, that's just pretty much like
120.
It's 120. So it's not like it's like he has a history.
Yeah.
You're not going to rewrite history with him, right? It's not like he just got into the league. He's been in the league for quite some time now. And if he's only going to be around this many innings for the season, it's pretty safe to say that that's pretty much all you're going to get out of him, right? Unless you remanufacture.
Well, no, it's even less than that because the 120 was once.
Let's say less.
All his other seasons are 88, 57, 60.
Okay.
55.
Let's say that that's the case. If you're going to invest that much money into a pitcher like that, and I understand you got a new shiny toy, you want to play with them, you want to show them off, Mike, I get it. But why wouldn't you want to limit his innings as much as possible to guarantee that he would be in the playoffs? Meaning, 6-man rotation, 7-man rotation, have him sit on a phantom IL for a little bit. Whatever the case is, just so you know that you'll have innings available in the playoffs. Because that
that's not guaranteed either.
But it's not a guarantee, but it's a better odds than what you got going on right now, don't you think?
No, I think eventually, I think you're happy he broke over 120 because history says he won't even give you 100 innings pitched.
So why would you go for it? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean?
You can't play in that kind of mindset. Like,
but
sports,
reality. I'm not saying it's a mindset,
like,
but that's
right?
Reality. If he's never been a pitcher that's able to pitch that many innings and you spent all that money, why wouldn't you try to get him into the playoffs?
They did a lot to get him into the playoffs. Like, we're not talking about a guy who pitches deep in every game and throws 120 pitches. I just told you, they always at 100, you're out. Like, wherever it is, whether it's in the fourth inning or the seventh inning, you're approaching in the 90s, you're out.
Let me ask you this, okay? So if we did a 6-man rotation, I don't know the numbers for days off and stuff like that, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it wouldn't work out all the time.
It wouldn't work out all the time. However, if we did a 6-man rotation, how many games would that have taken away from him if we did? I mean, that's a really tall order for me to throw at you right now for you to be able to figure out the numbers.
It might have been not even a handful. I would say maybe one or two. Because
only one or two games?
Yeah, because
so
there's off days, dude. Like,
I know, that's why I said
it throws everybody off out of whack.
I know, that's why I said that's very hard to come by.
Yeah, it's not going to work. And he would eventually have gotten hurt still because that's, unfortunately, his DNA. Unfortunately, we were talking about it. I think the problem is deeper than innings limit and skipping starts, because every organization in baseball, Mike, right? Everybody protects these pitchers with kids gloves, innings limits. You can't pitch more than 30% more innings this year than you did last year. You know, you can't go over 100 pitches. They all do this, and everybody still gets hurt. No one has figured this out. Nobody is doing like a metric saying, well, you can only pitch 120 innings a year, because whether they protect them with kid gloves, they get hurt. Whether they let them pitch, they get hurt. The problem isn't about I think the problem is about how they're throwing. If you're going to strain your elbow, is on hard fastballs, max effort fastballs, and pitches like hard sliders. If you remember the 90s, people didn't throw that hard one. And also, the slider wasn't like the big out pitch it is now. A lot of times it was people you threw splitters and changeups and curveballs and things like that were more out pitches than, you know, filthy sliders that are unhittable. Like, that's, and a guy like Glasnow, who has like a ridiculous amount of spin rate because of that weird finger thing he has, like, that's a lot of strain on your elbow.
In the 90s, you can take steroids to stay healthy.
Did that too. but you see what I'm saying? I think they need to look at it deeper.
Are you saying Glasnow's a bad, well, I'll ask both of you this. Was Glasnow a bad signing? Should we not have signed him?
I said that from day one. And that sucks, but I said that from day one. I questioned that signing, and I also questioned Yamamoto's, but hopefully I'm wrong about Yamamoto's.
The trade I won't say was a bad trade, but giving that 5-year extension, that's tough.
Maybe that was
not getting the years out of Glasnow, then that's a bad trade. Because you gave Pepio in that trade and not get years out of Glasnow?
No, because you know how it works. If they didn't re-sign Glasnow, they would have gotten a draft compensation and didn't draft another young pitcher. I mean, come on,
Glasnow required an extension in order to let the trade happen.
It probably did. I wouldn't doubt that.
If I got traded, I'd be like, all right, well, you give me three year extension.
Dang,
otherwise I'm not going.
I think it's
a bad trade and a bad signing, because you're not going to get, unless you figure out a way to get him in the playoffs, it's not going to matter. Like, he could be your ace for half of the season, then he's just done for the rest of the year. Like,
Tyler, if you're listening, you need to step into Robbie's office and get this thing straightened out.
No, it's not his fault. I mean, in a way, maybe it's probably, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's something to having an extra day's rest. I feel like there's something to, Max, I think you even threw something out there as far as like limiting how many times they can actually throw a certain pitch.
Like I think that's the next step.
That's hardcore.
That's hardcore.
That's absurd.
No, but think about it. Hold on. Think about it. You're going to hate this, Mike.
That's absurd.
Mike's going to hate this. Think about it.
I love it.
Hear me out on this one, Mike. Hear me out on this one.
La, la, la. I'm going to be like a little kid. La, 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 la. I can't hear you. La, 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 la.
I got to mute him.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Max.
I think I sent it in the group chat earlier when Robbie was interrupting my Jet game.
I thought I
he throws, let me pull it up here, 45% of his pitches are this year were four-seam fastball at 96 miles an hour. He threw 27% of those were sliders, of his pitches were sliders at 90 miles an hour, and then he mixed in this year more sinkers than he had any other season. 9% of the time he was throwing a 96 mile an hour on average sinker. Those three pitches alone, that's a lot of stress on your elbow, right? So me and Robbie were talking. I'm waiting for an organization to go even further than innings limit and and skipping starts, where they go like, listen, you have a max amount of fastballs you can throw a year. 950 fastballs, 450 sliders, 350 curveballs. The catcher, the pitcher, or whatever nerd from Yale in the office figures out this is what you're throwing for this game. This is your rations of pitches for the game. And you cannot go, you can't throw an extra fastball. You can't throw an extra slider because we need to save this pitcher's elbow for the playoffs. Tell me that is not something realistically you think a team would do.
Hold on. Before we go there, Max, I'll ask Robbie too. Who do you think calls the pitches during the game? Is it coming from the dugout? And upper management, or is it?
It depends on the organization, but what do the Dodgers do?
I've seen it be all ways.
So what I'm alluding to is if the dugout or the management or whomever is calling the pitches and aren't paying attention to how many sliders he's throwing, they're not doing him a service by protecting his arm.
You play
baseball,
though. You know a catcher, if the catcher's calling the game, if he knows that sinker has bite tonight, he's going to throw it. Especially if it's a lineup of guys who are susceptible to sliders. Like Aaron Judge, he's susceptible to a good slider, right? You're not going to throw him that slider to try to get him out? Especially with a pitcher like Glasnow, who has a high whiff rate on pitches like sliders. So it's hard to, like, tell a catcher and a pitcher, don't throw your best stuff tonight, right?
But then you're going to have an organization give them specifics on how many pitches they can throw and what types during a game. So like, all right, Aaron Judge is up and he murders a fastball, but you max out your slider, so we're just going to give up a grand slam or meatball.
We're
going to
throw up another fastball, man. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be
shocked. I don't think it's going to go there. Robbie,
I think it's already there.
Oh, you think they're doing it? We don't say
no. I think they are. I think they're already doing that. They'll have a conversation like even before games and say like, hey, you know, I would say use this pitch 50% of the time, this pitch 20% of the time, this pitch is spending time. And then obviously if something's like not working, then you have to adjust, I think.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's already part of the game plan, whether it's because they think that that's just the team you're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
But they do think about those types of things when it comes to their pitcher's arms.
Yeah, stress on
because,
the arm.
Because, it would be stupid if they're not, to be honest with you.
And wins?
If they are looking at all these analytics, they sacrifice wins already, Mike.
They do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
How many games does Kike Hernandez have to come in because they're saving the bullpen?
There's games we've already talked about that we knew that game was a wash from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, they knew, like, hey, if so-and-so is not going to make it past five innings, we have to basically scrap this game because we need our bullpen for the following game.
Someone's going to have to
eat
the bullet.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, but
the goal is to get into the playoffs. That's why I keep going back to...
You're not
going to
make the playoffs if you don't fucking win. Pardon, don't win.
The Dodgers are a deep, deep team. They just showed us right now. They had half of their offense like on the IL. They had all like half their pitchers on the IL, and they were still in first place.
We're only three and a half games up, dude.
Look...
Don't worry about that.
I disagree with you guys. I don't agree with either one of you.
That they're going to do it or you think that they should do it?
I don't think they should do it. I think you should play to win the game. I disagree with both of you.
I think they, I like Robbie's take where he says they probably are doing it. We just don't know.
I think if we talk to the right people that know obviously more than us, they're going to tell you that they're doing that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, they're doing that kind of stuff.
Now, maybe not all the teams are doing it yet.
Yeah.
But I think they are doing it.
I think the answer is a 6-man rotation, Robbie, and you don't limit.
That's not going to work, bro.
No, I think it's
none of this going to work.
Here's the thing.
Stop throwing hard.
That's what I, Max.
Stop throwing hard.
But that's what I would do. I would go to a 6-man rotation.
I think it's 6-man rotation, and then I also think it's you bring the balls in from Japan.
I like that idea. Balls in from Japan.
That's the other thing. Are you being serious?
No, he's serious because they stopped using the sticky stuff, right?
Back. Hold on.
Mike doesn't know.
Slow down.
Mike doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't know, and some of our listeners might know either.
He's absolutely
what
right.
about
yeah.
the Japanese baseballs?
So it's a little tackier, so they have better grip. So the pitchers don't have to, you know,
use as much torque to get the spin rate.
Exactly.
Because of the tackiness.
Yeah, there's a little tackiness to it. Before, players were using Spider Tech, and then your favorite player, Trevor Bauer, kind of snitched
gonna say that,
on everybody.
He showed it on
yeah, he snitched on everybody.
He's got his jersey on right now.
He's got what? I missed
you
it.
You got his jersey on right now.
Yeah, so he snitched on everybody. So then Major League Baseball kind of banned sticky stuff. That's why they check every pitcher's hands
right? Yeah, I got you.
But now the pitchers have to do, you know, throw even harder and things to, again, get that spin rate and stuff. So that doesn't help. What Robbie mentioned, if they bring in the ball from Japan, that might help with, you know, all these elbow issues. I like that idea too.
I think that's what's going to happen. And I think 6-man, I mean, at a point, even 7-man, to be honest with you, because it doesn't matter. Every team has their key pitchers, right? You have like the Dodgers, if you were to look at it, you could pick up their key pitchers, which is Yamamoto. You could say it's Flaherty right now, and you could say it's Glasnow. If they were healthy, obviously, if Ohtani was healthy, that'd be another. You can mix and match whatever, but everyone has their three or four main guys. But at the end goal, if you're not getting those main guys in the playoffs, then what is the point of it? So if you have these filler roles of other pitchers that are pitching, they can give you a quality start. They can give you five innings pitch, but they give up
the Dodgers
three to
can.
Four, five runs. The Dodgers can, but I think you're
that's
gonna,
not competitive balance is going to be out
I
of whack.
I think you're going to see that balance because that just means like that means that when you're playing game fives and game sixes, which it already is now, normally the time, or I'm sorry, game four or game five, that's your weaker pitchers. So normally that should be a higher run game, right? Right? Normally there should be more runs in game
possibly.
Threes and game fours and game fives because those are obviously not your aces. Normally. So that's what the league wants anyways, right? More action.
More offense.
More action. So if you're putting in the future, they're talking about
steroids.
No, they're saying that pitchers have to pitch at least 6 innings, right? They're talking about making that happen. Obviously there's like, you know, there's, you know, there's obviously there's like I can't even say the word.
I'm gonna interrupt you since you can't figure out your word.
You want the steroids
if we
back.
Go well steroids back but
exceptions
as one.
There's exceptions to the rule which
on.
Is like pitch count and how many runs you've given in and blah blah whatever, but if they're gonna make it so your pitchers have to go at least 6 innings, that's more wear and tear on the current pitchers now. Pitchers that aren't
none
even
of them
going
are gonna
past
make it.
Five.
Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right. Exactly. I agree.
So I think you're gonna see
pitcher.
Rotations get bigger.
Well, let
it's
me ask you this.
The only way, unless you want to keep arm surgeries the norm. Mike, go.
I like that.
I have a question for you, Robbie, as far as strategically speaking. If we see 6 and 7 man rotations, which I think that's the more logical answer.
6 is going to be for sure. I'm calling it.
Okay, so if we go to 6 and 7 man and or 7-man rotations or fillers where a guy gets an extra day's rest between starts.
People do that now anyway.
I know, but hear me out. Would you be concerned if a guy gets more rest, he'll lose his
efficacy?
What?
That was gold.
What? No, just like if he sits a little bit longer,
he'll lose his groove. He'll lose his groove.
Yeah, lose his groove. Come on, man. You're talking to a guy that barely made it through high school. You got to use like 4-letter words and like 6-letter words.
Oh, this is a lot gold. Of spaces.
Yeah.
In
why do you guys use swag? Because he can't pronounce anything else.
That's gold, Mike. That's gold.
Yeah. You think he might lose his groove? You think he might lose his groove a little bit if he sits a little bit longer?
Unless they start doing it from the minors so they get used to it.
Yeah,
because pitchers are creatures of habit, right? So if you're going to throw them off their routine.
I guess it's not like they can't pitch in practice. and do simulated stuff, but
yeah, but some pitchers they
let's freaking, keep my also when we're talking about a routine. Pitch count, we're also we're not even counting the pitches they do to warm up
I
a game.
Hate, that's what I hate.
They got to warm up to the game, and then they got to pitch like 8 to 12 pitches in between innings, like to start
it's
the next day.
Ridiculous.
Plus so the pitch count, it's a lot more pitches than we're even talking
it's
about.
It's all BS. It's all Tonka truck, like a show
whatever,
I listen
but
to likes
having,
to say.
Having an extra day off. To not throw that many pitches, that's got to be better for your arm.
Over the
right?
course of a,
yeah, that's what
they were
saying for the last
over the course
years,
of the entire season.
Worked.
Agreed.
But you, like but I told you about Jabba Chamberlain, right? With the Yankees, they did all these ridiculous rules and all these things. And what happened? They didn't use him when they needed him to. So and they lost the world. They lost an opportunity to win a World Series. And guess what happened? The kid got hurt anyway.
That's
so
because
what was the whole point.
That's because
what
the,
was the whole point.
Well, that's because the Yankees management is horrible.
No, but I'm just saying.
We're the Dodgers over on the West Coast that win divisions every year.
You guys win one title in God knows how long, and now
and
you
haven't done
like
anything since Jeter retired.
Jeez. Unbelievable. We won one in 2009, and you guys won one during COVID. What's up?
That was a special one, though, because I needed that.
Everybody, I think a lot of people need that in L.A.
I still think it's an asterisk. I don't even count that.
You don't count that? That was extremely stressful, man. All right, that was a tough World Series to win.
For just giggles, do me a favor, Max, pull up Ryan Pepiot's stats.
I got him up. I got him here.
We can't be talking about the past.
Listen,
I'm curious.
You,
I want to know what that guy's doing because I was.
That's
a fan
fine.
Of
I think it's. I think it's worthy.
I'm just curious.
He's had a solid year.
I don't know him that well.
Here, I'll put up a highlight while he talks about him.
Listen, you should. I don't know him that well.
In Yankee Land, there's
you
a saying.
Put him
they
up
say,
in a Dodgers highlight. Mm.
Listen, in Yankee Land, there's a saying. They say never make a deal with the Tampa Bay Rays because they always, you know, come out on top. Well. This year, he started 23 games. He's an 8-6 record. I know people don't care about that, but his ERA, 3.76. That whip, 1.17. 119 strikeouts in 115 innings. That's a solid year for a 27-year-old on a team that's basically rebuilding. You know what I mean? Like they basically blew it up, and you know he's doing pretty well. And I think Robbie mentioned he's
a
controllable guy.
Change up too.
Yeah, and he's a controllable asset until 2027 or whenever it is, you know.
Well, so one other quick question, Robbie. Like, as far I didn't follow the Glasnow trade, whatever. Like I just assumed it would be a good pickup for us and the Dodgers knew what they were doing.
I thought so too.
Did we need Glasnow? Like, was there that big of a hole in our rotation at that time that we needed Glasnow and to throw a Hail Mary that he'd become an elite dominant pitcher that would not get hurt?
He had a great he was having a great year. Let me just add that. It's not like he was a bum this year. His metrics are great, but go ahead.
I mean, yeah, what do you think?
Here's the thing. The Dodgers do we need another pitcher? Yes. But the reason why I've always questioned the Glasnow thing is because if I talk about
being healthy.
Dustin May or Tony Gonsolin or Walker Buehler or even as recently as Clayton Kershaw, we already had Tommy John prone pitchers. Clayton Kershaw is not not injury prone,
no,
but because
yeah,
of his shoulder.
He just had
but
injury.
We already have those. Like, dude, Dustin May, when he is healthy, is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He has so much movement on his fastball, and like it's ridiculous. But he throws like Glasnow. You know what I mean? Or Dustin May throws like Glasnow. So he's just going to, you know, it's going to happen to him again. Tony Gonsolin may not be a fire, like he doesn't, you know, throw ridiculous, but he can place his pitches really well. He's a contact pitcher and he gets out of innings and he controls, he doesn't get high in the pitch count.
And he might come back this year.
And he might even come back this year. We haven't talked about him yet. You had those guys kind of already in the wings.
Yeah.
So you needed was a 1 year guy, in my opinion.
Which I think we got in Flaherty.
I still got the wrong thing going here.
That's all right.
Oops, my bad. No, it is. Which we got basically in Flaherty. I don't think we need it. And then you have Ohtani coming back. I'm sorry. You also signed a $700 million half pitcher, you know, half dominant DH hitter. He's a Cy Young winner, but coming off his second Tommy John surgery, which I don't know if they actually clarify if it was a Tommy John surgery the second time.
I think it is.
But yeah, you put Ohtani in the mix. You put Dustin May in the mix. You put Tony Gonsolin in the mix. You put Clayton Kershaw in the mix. Those guys are all under contract. You still have these guys under contract. Walker Buehler's not. But you... That's a lot of pitchers already that their arms can fall off any second. So now you have Glasnow, his arm's going to fall off any second. So I don't think we needed Glasnow. Do we need a workhorse pitcher? I think we did. Do we need someone that had more like reliability? I think we did. But I think you can get those out of your other rookies.
Sure.
You know, that, you know, your Bobby Millers, your Gavin Stones.
Your like, River Ryans.
Well, not anymore. We didn't know yet.
We broke him.
You broke him. But we didn't know.
Break
him.
Thanks, guys.
Landon
Knack. They're all going to break.
He looked so good, though. Gosh.
They're all going to break.
But you had those other pitchers that I
River
just talked
Ryan
about,
was
though.
Badass.
Those other pitchers that I talked about, if they're healthy, dude, that's a quality starting pitching rotation going into the playoffs. If you can get those guys there, if you could get them there,
yeah,
that's a quality pitching staff. And
you need a lot of pitchers these days.
You're basically
Buck
rolling.
Showalter said you need at least eight.
I agree.
To get through the season.
We have 20.
You need eight to get, you need eight
we
to
have
get
like
through
three.
The season.
We have 20
I mean?
And four and three and a half are healthy.
All right. Speaking of three and a half and
they're
healthy.
They're all going to break, man.
Let's transition now. We're going to move on to starting pitching.
Yeah. That was good. That was good segue.
We basically just did anyways. I got a nice little reel with all of our pitcher possibilities. So it's going to be good.
You want to slide into that right now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I'm signing it right now, but real fast, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. If you like what you're listening to, go ahead and check out that Patreon page. Where is my picture?
You can also find us on X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, all that stuff is
all
in the bottom of the
stuff.
Description.
All that stuff
go
is there.
Find
You'll
us,
be able to find it
likes.
In the bottom of the description.
All right.
You will.
Right now, Glasnow is out for sure, so that kind of solidifies what we got going on, at least for a couple of the pitchers. So Yamamoto. His last pitching performance, he looked dominant. If I had to say that he's our ace, he would be our ace. As far as what he looked
over
like
Flaherty?
In those four innings. However, Flaherty's been our most consistent and has lasted the longest as far as like innings pitched, even though his last outing was terrible. He went three innings pitched. I think he gave up like five runs. He looked really bad. But hopefully that was just not a sign of things to come. Hopefully that was just a bad outing. You know, it could have been a lot of humidity going on in Atlanta. Who knows? Maybe the balls are just really slippery. But you've got Yamamoto and you got Flaherty. That's a good, solid 1-2 punch, in my opinion. Now you've got Walker Buehler, who I think is going to be the third punch in that rotation. I think now, when I have already called it, like the next two starts, so he just did his one start, which went really well. I think his next start is going to be, I believe, I could be wrong, Max, but it could be against the Padres, if you could check it out really quick, because I think we have the Padres after the Marlins. Just double check that. I could be wrong.
No problem.
So there's your three right now. Healthy pitchers. We have a fourth healthy pitcher. We're not going to add him as the fourth guy right now, but here's our possibilities for our fourth starter in the rotation. It's either Bobby Miller, who's healthy, right? Healthy-ish. He throws strikes.
Rockies.
It's the Rockies. Oh, so his next thing is it in Colorado?
No.
Okay.
Rockies are coming here. That's
Buehler's
next start on Friday.
Okay. Well, I expect him to go six innings and only give up one run again. I'm going to call
the
that
Rockies.
So you've got Bobby Miller, who's healthy, but obviously he's been extremely shaky. People are rocking him. You have a Gavin Stone, which I have not heard anything about. If we can look that up.
I saw something on him. He's starting this weekend. This weekend he was his first
rehab start?
No, starting to throw.
Oh, just starting to throw.
Yeah, so...
Okay, but keep in mind that
he's expected to start a throwing program this weekend and then begin.
Go from there,
yeah.
And then you've got Clayton Kershaw, which is still the foot thing, which I'm not hearing anything. I haven't heard anything about Clayton Kershaw. Have we heard anything on Kershaw?
No, I can look it up, but...
All right, but that's really the options right there. There's those three pitchers for your fourth starter. Is you've got a shaky Bobby Miller, a bad foot Kershaw, and a falling off arm Gavin Stone.
Well, Stone looks like they're pushing to try to get him back before the end of the year.
No, they were pushing Gonson also, but I believe Stone has an arm issue as well. So we can't really bank on arm issues.
I think we got Flaherty as our number
Knack
one.
Knack is not an issue, but Knack, I don't think Knack's your guy, so we're not going to put Knack into this mix of pitchers. Go ahead.
I would say Flaherty's our number one, Yamamoto's number two, and my boy Buehler.
Yeah, we got that. It's really
right?
Like the fourth option. And we got 13 games left, right? Yeah, 13 games left of the regular season. So,
well, right now, Bobby Miller's your number four.
I got that Kershaw update for you.
Okay.
So, Kershaw had been fighting through a bone spur in his left big toe.
Yeah.
Has been throwing off a makeshift mound, but Roberts acknowledged that it's unlikely he makes it back to the rotation before the end of the regular season. So, you're looking at the playoffs maybe.
So he could still pitch in the playoffs.
Yes, but don't look for him in the regular season.
But don't look for him in the regular season.
Yeah.
I think
Gavin Stone needs to come back.
It's, I mean, really, Gavin Stone, yeah, I could see Gavin Stone needs to come back.
He needs to come back.
Gavin Stone,
To make a run of this thing, Gavin Stone's got to be our number four, Robbie.
Well, then there is the secret horse.
Gonsolin?
No, Ohtani, man.
Ohtani's not going to be in the playoff. But Ohtani,
you never know, man. He's been throwing a lot of mounds.
If he does pitch.
An inning or two to shut, you know.
The next guy, though, is my guy, Tony Gonsolin. So Tony Gonsolin made a start.
There he is. You can see him on our screen now, right?
He made a start today.
Was it today? Does that start today?
I had it here.
That's all right. Good. Max, I want to hear about Gonsolin.
Yeah, here.
What's the stats that he out of him?
So he had today 2 2/3 inning pitched, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 earned runs, 3 Ks, 50 pitches.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's good. 50 pitches.
In 2 innings, and he came up. That's not good.
But he hasn't pitched in how long?
I know.
Yeah.
But all
his first start out.
All those 50 pitches, 34 of them.
But that means I wouldn't bank on him to be anything that's going to, be reliable.
Yeah, I got more stats for you. 34, so 50 pitches, 34 strikes, 7 whiffs, 4 called strikes, 5 hard hit, 10 balls in play. Fastball sat around 91 and 93 miles an hour.
Why'd your thing like zoom in on you?
There you go.
First game back, dude. He'll be all right.
So
I mentioned it a couple games,
all those wonderful,
couple pods ago.
You.
He may come back. We're gonna need him. I mean, at this point, Robbie, all options are on the table, including
Ohtani. You're not wrong.
Hold on.
Ohtani's
there's one other secret weapon who pitched Ohtani. Today
who?
In with Ryan Gosling in OKC. What is it? Tony Gonsolin, whatever his name is. Joe Kelly, your favorite, Robbie.
No.
1 innings pitch,
he's
2
not a
Ks,
starter.
11 pitches, 9 strikeouts. Robbie loves the guy.
I'm going to trade for Ryan Pepia right now.
He's not a starter.
You don't need him.
He's just too unreliable, man. For
so what about this, Robbie? What if the number four, they do a piggyback thing?
They might have to.
But, I mean, that doesn't sound very good for
you don't need
a
fourth
World
until,
Series run.
Yeah, but you don't need the fourth until maybe the second or third round.
Well, how about this? Dodgers just sweep everybody and you won't have to go four.
Actually, the second round has all these off dates, too. You might
not
even
need
a fourth.
Let me rephrase that. Let's start off all of our series beating up 3-0, and then we just got to pick up one.
Yeah,
drop a game or two.
The way they space these things out now, you might only need a fourth starter in the ALCS.
NLCS,
sorry. Yankee, my mind.
Yeah. You guys won't make it to the LCS anyways.
No, there's nobody
I
out there.
I still have small faith in Bobby
Astros.
Miller, though. Let's see what Bobby Miller does tomorrow.
But he's the healthiest out of any four options, right?
Yeah.
You might have to go with Bobby Miller. I mean, if he gets back to, you said it a couple podcasts ago, if he gets back to his nasty, dirty stuff and fights through whatever mental
strength it's
he's going through.
It is.
Maybe Robbie put in a request to have him walk into his office. He's yet to show up. So if you're listening, Bobby, come step into Robbie's office. We'll get you back on track. We're going to need you, pal.
This is sounding a little wrong now. Just want to let you know that.
Well, don't take it that way.
All right. Well, options are, it's
limited.
What
do you guys think out there? Leave us a message or a comment or a like.
I think
and let us know what you guys think.
If we can go
listeners.
With a strong three, I'll be okay with. I would feel really good with a strong three. If we go,
I really do.
All right. Well,
Yamamoto, Flaherty, and Bueller, I think you're solid, man.
All right.
With that offense, come on.
This would be a good time to remind everybody to click that like and subscribe button. Don't forget that we are also on YouTube. So if you're looking to see our amazing faces when we're tired at night, especially mine, go check out our YouTube channel. Okay, Max, this one's you. Read it.
So that was the Player Spotlight brought to you by Rotcher Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms. From sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews, Rotcher Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page at patreon.com/RotcherBrainMedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained.
Chicka-chick-chow.
There you go.
All right. Let's go ahead and let's do this series recap. It's still on its way. It's still going. It's not done yet, but whatever. All right. So the Dodgers are in the middle of a 4-game series right now. They've played 3 games so far. The Dodgers have only won 1. And they've lost 2, which has not been looking good. These are very bad highlights we're going to go through really quick. So, first game is on Friday. The Dodgers lost that 2-6. Landon Knack only lasted 2 innings pitched, gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 Ks, and 2 home runs. The silver lining to that was Michael Grove pitched two innings pitched, only gave up one hit, zero earned runs, and one K. Michael Grove is a guy we haven't been talking about a lot because he's a starting pitcher that transitioned into the bullpen. But he is a very small option that he could be a starter at some point, but I think you maybe might see him flip with Knack if Knack has another performance like that, and if you want to kind of limit the damage on your actual starting pitching. But that's an option. Anyways, not much happened offensive-wise. Our man, Tommy Edman, went 1-for-4 with an RBI. Will Smith, 2-for-3. And Miguel Rojas, 1-for-3 with a home run. That's pretty much it in that terrible, terrible game. That's not even the worst game of the series so far. That was
Landon Knack is not looking good on these stats, man.
No, I feel like the league figured out Landon Knack. Landon Knack came out and he looked really good at first. But like I said, rookies can come in and they could sneak in a couple wins and look really good. And then the league figures them out and then just starts start pushing him around. And I think that's what's happening to Knack now.
54.5% of his fastballs are hard hit.
Yeah, that's not good.
You cannot have that.
On a side note, though, which we'll talk about. No, we'll wait till game three because we're going to end this on a high note. Anyway, so let's talk about game two, we're not going to talk about this long at all. So Saturday's game, the Dodgers scored one run, Braves scored 10. Flaherty, three innings pitch, five hits, four earned runs, four walks, four Ks. He threw 83 pitches in three innings. Only 45 of them were strikes. That is not a recipe for success. Offense, well, they scored one run. There's not really much to talk about.
I mean, they were going up a former Cy Young, filthy pitcher.
That's great. He's filthy pitcher, but at the same time, the way this offense is stacked from top to bottom, you don't expect them to be pushed around like they were in this
game.
Great
pitching always shuts out good hitting.
You know what? I agree with that. That's right.
Don't beat them up too bad for that game.
I'm beating them up.
And you don't know, Flaherty might have had a nice Friday night out, didn't have his command.
Flaherty looks like a party boy.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it.
That's why I brought it up.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
I brought it up.
Like, Atlanta might be his groove. Like, he might be like, oh, dude. Like, when you go to Atlanta.
That's where it is at.
You go to Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Who knows? But Sale, pitching pretty much a shutout. It's not surprising.
Atlanta's an 81-win team, dude. They're no slouch.
I didn't think they're a slouch, but still, the offense that this team has, and look, reality.
The guy has a 2.35 ERA,
talking reality right now, the way our pitching has been throughout the season, we need to stop looking at the Dodgers. The Dodgers have always been looked at as a pitching team, correct? It's always been the Dodgers have the best pitching. We got to be pitching. The Dodgers might need to look at them a little differently going into the playoffs, where the Dodgers need to score 6 runs to win a baseball game.
At least.
They got to show up hungry and not just score 3 runs in one inning and then all of a sudden take the rest of the night off. They got to be hitting the baseball all the time. And that's the mindset that they got to have coming in, which I'm not saying they don't, but I think we have to expect that, especially with the way the pitching has been and this lineup that's stacked from top to bottom. The score sheet should be lopsided all the time in the Dodgers' favor, at least most of the time.
Not when you're going up against a guy whose whip is a 1.
Whip is a 1,
That's not even his best of his career. That's the kind of pitcher you're going up against.
All right.
I don't think you're giving him enough credit, you're beating up the Dodgers a little too much.
All right, but what about that first game when they only scored 3 runs?
That's a whole other conversation. Okay. We're talking about game 2 and Chris Sale.
Okay.
I'm just nightmares when he was in Boston.
All right.
He can shut the Yankees out a lot.
Sunday's game, which was tonight's game, but it was yesterday's game for you guys listening. The Dodgers scored 9 runs, which 7 of them were in the 9th inning. Braves scored 2. Walker Buehler goes 6 innings, pitched 3 hits, 1 earned run, 5 walks, 5 Ks, 97 pitches, 63 of them were strikes. We've already talked about Buehler enough, but what I did not talk about, though, there was a lot of soft contact from Buehler. I think maybe there might have only been one hard ball hit against him.
Nice.
Everything else was like little dribblers in the infield and stuff, and that's kind of one of the reasons why Gavin Lux had an issue with one of those plays at second base. He was getting a lot of soft contact, which was really good to see. Ohtani goes 2-for-4, 2 doubles, 2 RBIs. He showed up at this game. Betts went 1-for-5, an RBI. He showed up. Freddie Freeman, 1-for-4, had an RBI. He showed up. Teoscar Hernandez, 1-for-4 with a home run, 2 RBIs. Tommy Edman, 2-for-5, double, home run, RBI, Muncy, 2-for-5, home run, RBI. By the way, all those home runs were back-to-back-to-back in the 9th inning. Tommy Edman for this week had 5 home runs. Mike, who gets the game ball for the week?
Oh, Tommy Edman.
Tommy Edman gets the game ball for the week.
He's coming on strong. I think he's I think he's a force to be reckoned with after, you know, as much like the pitchers we talked about coming back, they needed several games to get back in their groove. I think Tommy Edmonds found it.
Yeah. And
we are Edmonds fans.
We are big Edmonds fans. And yeah. What he does is he locks up that center field position in the playoffs because he will be playing center field in the playoffs. You will not see Kiermaier playing center field in the playoffs. You will not see Paez playing center field in the playoffs. If they do play center field in the playoffs, I have no idea why. Like to be honest with you, I have no idea why. With Rojas playing shortstop and you got Edmund in center field, there's no reason for those guys to be on the field at all.
I agree.
Because they hit the ball well and they play solid, solid defense. Which we,
I mean, and Edmund's a former Gold Glove winner, so
yeah. But Edmund looks really good at shortstop as well. But you got Miguel Rojas. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe next season you see Tommy Edmund as the shortstop for the season. Even though I've talked about, I think they might try Lux again at shortstop, so they could bring Betts back into second base to save his legs. That bringing Betts back into the infield, I guarantee you, is one of the priorities for the Dodgers because they want to make sure that his contract he stays. As productive as possible throughout his contract. Keeping him in the outfield and right field is not the best way to do it. And putting him back at shortstop, Max, you are right. That's not the best place for him. Nope. Second base is the best place for him. And he's too short to play first. All right. I said it. That's going to do our partial recap of the series. We still have game 4 that goes on tomorrow, today for you listeners. What time is that game? Is it a day game?
It's a 4:20 p.m. game.
So... it's not. Kind of is for us, but not for if you're in Atlanta. That's going to do that. Let's go ahead and let's preview the upcoming series against the Marlins. Which, if you want to get back on track, you play the Marlins.
Yeah, you sweep them.
Hopefully you sweep them. All right, what's the pitching matchup looks like? when I say that, I'm...
You know, Marlins, don't see... They list somebody.
Yeah, Bobby Miller against...
Who do you got? You got on ESPN. Who's ESPN got?
Bobby Miller is pitching against McCagan.
No, wait. Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow?
Is Yamamoto.
Yamamoto and Freed.
That's right. It's Yamamoto. It's not Bobby Miller.
No, Yamamoto against Freed tomorrow.
We're talking about the Marlins.
Yeah, you said Marlins.
I forget. For some reason, I thought Bobby Miller was tomorrow against the Braves. I'm glad I'm wrong. I want to see Yamamoto. Okay.
Yeah, you're just in a bad mood because we got injuries.
That's why.
Oh, I got to laugh at you. That's good. You want me to do it or you got it, Max?
No, go ahead. You're doing great.
All right. Oh, that's the first one I ever get told I'm doing great.
God, man, what's your home life like?
Oh, my home life's good. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Yamamoto's pitching against Freed against Atlanta, and then we got 3-game series with Miami. With Bobby Miller against McCagan, I can't pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Game 2 is Knack, but they don't list a starter. And then game 3 is Flaherty and Cabrera.
Yeah, Marlins are checked out.
So they're doing a 6-man rotation right now. The Dodgers, right? Knack, Yamamoto, Bobby Miller, Walker Buehler, and Flaherty. Oh, that's 5.
No.
Missing somebody?
5. Okay. Flaherty. Wait. So right. Flaherty,
Yamamoto.
Buehler. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Bobby Miller.
Wait, no. Didn't you start with Bobby Miller?
No, you didn't.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Flaherty, Yamamoto, Buehler.
Right.
Bobby Miller. Right. And then Knack.
That's 5.
That's 5. That's it.
Oh, I thought we were doing 6. Darn it.
In your dreams, you've been dreaming about a 6-man rotation.
I have been
for 6 weeks.
Where's Robleski? Get that guy in. Bring back
spring
Robleski.
Training. He was talking about that he wanted the 6-man.
Oh God, this should be 6-man.
I think you're onto something, Robbie. I really do. I know you.
It's not like, me. Like I'm not the only person saying this. It's common knowledge, dude. It's like they should be in a 6-man rotation.
No, this is a Robbie from Talking Dodgers telling all of Major League Baseball to go to a 6 or 7-man rotation. Take some credit in your baseball knowledge.
All right, I will.
He's so reluctant. You're one of the smartest baseball minds I know.
Oh, dude.
Come on.
Thanks, man. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
You didn't bring up the lead. The biggest story. The White Sox won 2 games in a row. I think that's the 35th win. They're going to break that. They're going to shatter that 120 mark.
Man. I think that's crazy.
How crazy is that?
You want to talk about the White Sox? I was an Ozzie Guillen White when he was a manager.
Oh, yeah, they were
I was a White
then.
Sox fan then.
They were scrappy, boy.
I almost bought an Orioles hat today.
Why?
Well, I took my boy to get 2 new Dodger hats because he wore his other one out.
Listen, you want to give him the confidence he needs in life, you buy him a crisp Yankee fitted cap.
Shout out to my father-in-law, diehard New York Yankee fan.
That's a good man
Which son did you go buy a hat for? Youngest?
Grant? Or no, sorry. Logan, the oldest.
Yeah, okay.
Logan,
tell your dad you need a Yankee hat.
He's officially a Dodger. He's going to be stoked.
He's a Dodger on the 5U team.
Come on. We got to,
Man, I still got to send that email out to the parents.
I'm stoked. So one little tidbit, Robbie and I, obviously we've talked about coaching Little League and youth baseball. We teamed up this year for our youngest boys to be on the Dodgers 5U Shetland team, and we're going to be raking all fall season.
Yeah, we were looking for a kid named Maxwell, but he didn't show up.
Maxwell, is he rehabbing from an arm injury too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's rehabbing, yeah.
Dude, he's the same age as our kids. All three of them could be on the same team.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
He's still working out his left-handed swing.
A lot of competition.
Oh, I like it. We could put him in the 3 spot.
He's a switch hitter, man.
I gotta lie to my son.
I'm raising a switch hitter, bro.
You know, like when you tell the kids in the field, like even the coaches in the field, you go like big hitter, so all the kids back up so they don't get nailed. Yeah.
Really? You do that?
Yeah. It's
because these kids play the grass, they're going to get hit in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these kids hit hard.
And then Marcus looks at me and he goes, you got to tell them big hitter.
That's awesome.
So I go, big hitter. And he goes.
We have a blast coaching the little guys. Grant, he's obsessed with sliding. I'm trying to teach him that he doesn't have to slide into first base. But they'll tag me, Dad.
There's a couple of crazy pros who used to go head first and swore it was faster.
Well, with these guys, they almost stop and then slide. They don't really make progression towards the base when they slide.
So you know when it's the last hitter? Because, Max, we don't keep score in like 4U, 5U.
It's educational right now.
So, but when it's the last batter, because it bats around, then you bat around, you switch. So when it's the last batter, they normally get to keep running. So it's like it's a home run. But then now, like, towards
I know why you guys really do that. So tiring them out so they can go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. But towards the end of the season, what we started doing is like, you give one of the kids has the ball, they go to home plate and they try to tag the runner out. Well, Marcus, like, he's like, I got to go get the runner. So he couldn't catch the runner. So he just took the ball and just threw it right at him.
Oh, no, really?
That's great. Because, when you guys grew up, did you guys play wall ball?
What's wall like? Heads up.
Butts up.
Butts up. Yeah. And you had to either if you couldn't get the ball to the wall before the guy touched it.
You had
to beam him.
Yeah.
You had to spell butts up first though, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
man.
No. If you lost, then you had to line up against the wall, and everybody that's playing against you,
you got to throw
the tennis ball as hard as they could.
Tougher generation nowadays. They wouldn't allow stuff like that.
There's no way they would allow it.
No.
We should bring that back. And then if you're the last man standing, you get to be on the baseball team.
Hey, shout out to the 5U Dodgers.
They're going to win it all.
You'll see right here, William S. Hart, baseball and softball.
That's right. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Talking Dodgers, your number one fan podcast.
Brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media.
And sponsored by Max's Tesla.
No, Command Creative Studios.
Yeah, Command Creative Studios. Okay. But, you know, catch us next time. Make sure you tell all of your friends.
Not me.
Click that like and that subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
I will be absent on Thursday.
Hopefully you will not. Hopefully,
yes, I will.
No, you won't. Why would you think that?
It's Jets Patriots, dude. I'm not going to be here, man.
You can Discord in, my friend.
Get the hell out of here.
Are you going to be asked for stats? He's going to bring you up.
Kidding me?
Tom Brady stats.
Mike, can you explain to him what Jets Patriots means? Can you explain this guy?
I know, but it's the Patriots, dude.
I know, and I can't beat them. And if I can't beat them now without Belichick, I'm going to break my freaking TV. Okay?
Gerard Mayo's our new head coach, dude.
Exactly.
The game will be done by 9:30.
Yeah, but I'll either be extremely happy drunk or extremely angry drunk. You don't want either. There you go.
All right. Well,
we'll catch you guys next time
on Talking Dodgers.
Not me.
See you later.